Sleuths, I'm back. Welcome to Sophia with an F. I have missed you guys a lot. That's actually a lie. I have missed you guys, but I haven't had any time during this past month where I've really been able to sit and even think about missing anyone, missing anything. But I do love you guys. And I did come to a couple conclusions over this past month that I want to get into. But first, I'm going to put a Joey in my mouth because that's what brides do. Please pause. This is bridal right here. This is bridal. But you know what? This is actually chic and wifey material. Can you imagine me hitting the vape? No judgment for anyone who hits the vape. I've been there. I was, you know, there for about 7 to 8 years of my life, but we're going to pop one of these in and let's catch up. This one is cucumber mint and I like it. Well, I need to let it kind of like chill, you know, in the mouth, so that it kind of releases all the flavors, but I can tell right away that I do like it. So I made the decision to not put out new podcast episodes for 4 weeks. And that is the first time in a long time that I've kind of taken a break or a pause from the podcast, and me calling it a break is the most laughable, hilarious thing I've ever said. Because the whole reason I decided to is to work on my book. The final manuscript was turned in July 1st. And thank you. I've spent the past 6 weeks. I mean, I've been working on the book since I freaking, you know, was writing the proposal, which how long ago was that? So, okay, but over, Soph is saying over a year, which makes it sound like it has, normal publishing is, and I'm also going to let Soph take it away on this, like, how long do people usually, like, quickest turnaround?
Like on the shelves in 2 to 3 years.
Okay. So from the moment you sell the book to a publisher and it hits the shelves is 2 to 3 years, which I know that because I actually interviewed with this other publisher and they straight up said, well, what are you going to like? You have 2 to 3 years to kind of not fill up my time. But they said it will be 2 to 3 years before this thing comes out. My publisher, shout out Simon & Schuster, they're like a little bit, you know, more aggressive. And that's exactly why I went with them and love them. And the book is basically being done on a rapid timeline. I was not going to let that be the reason that I used a ghostwriter. Okay. Fun fact. I've seen online, Dave Portnoy made like a video. Yeah, whatever he said was actually funny. He was like, her book won't.
It's gonna
be good. Her book will be good, but it will be fiction. Which is actually like really funny to fucking say. This is a nonfiction book. This is a memoir, but it is fucking good. And I didn't want to use a ghostwriter. So it's the only people who have seen or touched or discussed what's in here is Stuart, my editor, and Soph, who happens to also be like a brilliant writer. But I have written the book. So also, I feel like I couldn't get away with using a ghostwriter in the same way maybe like other, I fucking hate calling myself a celebrity, but celebrity memoirs. If Jennifer Aniston, you know, were to do a book, she could get away with it a little bit more not being in her voice. For me, people have heard me, my voice, how I say things, what I say in their ear holes for over 6 years, every single week. So that was like, but that was one of the very small reasons I decided to not use one. The main reason I decided to not use one is I'm telling my story for the first time. I've had it told for me 700 different ways and different times. And you better fucking believe that I'm not about to have it told for me once again. You know? So it was very important to me that I wrote it. And it also was very important to me that I did something that I love to do. And I do think one of my stronger suits is storytelling, both verbally and in the written form. You know, like I, back in the day, would have a little bit more of a script sometimes for podcast episodes. And for all those reasons, I was like, I'm going to write it, but I also refuse to let it be one of those like rushed celebrity memoirs where you kind of read it and you're like, oh, this bitch like basically just jotted down every single thing that's happened in her life and had to press the submit button before a deadline. That would also kill me. So what I did instead is I procrastinated. I would cry over what I wrote and be like, that's the dumbest shit I've ever seen on a page before, you dumb biatch, to myself. And I went on and on kind of doing that, but I did get stronger. I did get way better at writing. And then it got to a point where it was like, if you want both of these things for your book, for it to be good, but also for you to fucking write it, then you will be reporting to the Simon & Schuster offices from 10 to 6 p.m. every single day, Monday through Friday. And you will be sitting in a boardroom with your editor, Stuart, and with Soph, because you cannot be left unattended, because that will just defeat the whole purpose. We were supposed to do that for a week. We were like, we're just gonna make it hell week and we're just gonna fucking push through, power through, and like do the damn thing. 1 week turned into four. By the end of it, people were starting to get a little bit like, even I was like, I now understand why there's mandatory breaks in the office culture. And I understand now why they're like, no, legally, if someone is working 8 hours, they are required to take a 30-minute break. They cannot just work through lunch. I get that now. Like, I fully get it. And I would just be like, I'm going to go walk outside aimlessly, just around Rockefeller Center and like with the tourists, and just like kind of, I just want to breathe in air and like feel sun and remove myself from being inside of this shit. And we were just all in it. And poor Stuart, let me explain something about a book editor, okay? They work with talent, sure. But 9 times out of 10, that talent has a ghostwriter or someone who writes for a living. Someone who, like, you know, it's not like, what's a celebrity memoir? It's not like Britney Spears was just decided to go ahead and hire fucking Jill Jane Doe off of Craigslist, who just graduated from NYU. You know, like, talent, they are hiring people who this is their like 10th, 20th memoir that they published. And so you can imagine that because that is the typical case, Stewart is used to working with people who know what they're doing, hit their deadlines, are not attempting to write a book for the first time. And so he had never had to sit in a room. And I asked him, he had never had to sit in a room across from said talent for 8 hours a day, every single day, day in and day out, for weeks. That's not anything he's ever done. That's not anything I've ever, and Stewart has published, you know, been the editor for a lot of really incredible books, including other celebrity memoirs, but he wasn't having to sit in a war room. So I had to like report to this office, and I'm going to say like one of the hardest things to get used to was having to dress in business casual every single day. And I would just like tear my room apart. And obviously I had like major, major flashbacks to when I worked in finance in Midtown. And you can fucking see the Morgan Stanley office that I worked at from the Simon & Schuster boardroom window. Do you know how insane like that was? Obviously, there's like a million different boardrooms in Simon & Schuster and a million different Morgan Stanley offices, but I literally looked it up and they basically have the same address. So dressing in like business casual was crazy. And then I asked Stewart one day, I was like, I will get here on time if it is allowed that I just wear my regular daily garb of leggings and a shirt. And he was like, no one ever told you how to dress in business casual. And I did that for a few days. I didn't like it. And I have always complained about corporate life. There's something to it. Like, there is something about having to like show up in a presentable way. I kind of ended up loving that. I did leggings for 2 days and then I was like, fuck this shit. I don't like how it feels. And also, I do all of my work from home and a lot of it is done just like alone. There is something about being in like a room with other people who share the same exact like vision and have the same goal, and to just all be like in it together and fucking so like passionate about it. That was really incredible. I told Soph like I'm gonna get a WeWork space. I might just like expand the team and like hire a few people, but I have no idea what they'll do. I mean, there's so much that they could do. There's so fucking much that I could have them do. But it was 85% book. Obviously, we fucked around. Stewart ended up like bringing his speaker from home so we could like vibe out. He really loves this song, the Goyard song. We were blasting that. We had fun. We had fun with it, but that shit was a lot.
Welcome to Chumba Casino, America's number one online social casino. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Explore hundreds of social games, including top-tier slots, jackpot games, and table classics with new games launching regularly. At home, on your lunch break, or relaxing on the couch, world-class entertainment is just a tap away. Score free daily login bonuses and kick things off with a free welcome bonus. Sign up today and discover why over 1 million players choose Chumba Casino to play for non-stop fun. Your next fun moment starts now at Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyer's rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
It wasn't just the podcast that I took a little hiatus from. I took a hiatus from my entire life. Wedding. I did kind of take care of myself, so self-care wasn't totally out the window. But like wedding, other work obligations, any brand deals, anything. I just was like, nope, you're not. I'm not even going to like respond to a fucking email or a text in a timely fashion because I have one chance to do this book and I'm going to do it fucking well. Now that I've submitted the manuscript. See, guys, this is, oh no, I can't show you pages, but like, and then we printed it on this little thing. This is not how the book is going to look, but like, it was so fun to just like use a pen and a highlighter. Oh, the wedding. So I submit it and I was like, oh my God, finally now I can breathe a little bit. Like I know there's so much wedding stuff that still needs to happen, but now it's going to be more manageable. I'm going to say it's about 2% more manageable. It's like so crazy. Now I'm like excited to actually the wedding piece of it, but I have so much left to do. And, you know, like every time I hear brides talk about like their upcoming wedding, they're always like, oh my God, wedding planning is so stressful. And I heard this girl say something really funny once. She said that money turns into fairy dust in like the weeks leading up to your wedding, because you're just like, you want to walk down with your fucking dress like not fitting you. Okay, like that can be on you. No, we're going to like rush tailor it. Let me give you guys like a timeline. My wedding is in a different country and it is 3 weeks away. I don't have shoes. I have like an idea, but I don't have one bridal moment completely stylized, finalized, tailored to my body, in my hands, with shoes, with the accessories, and like ready to be put in a bag and shipped to Italy. Not one. I have a few dresses being tailored right now that I will then go try on and pray to the gods above that they fit like a glove and that they are turning out exactly as I'm envisioning. I just yesterday walked in to a store and was like, I don't have any of my dresses for this wedding weekend like finalized and without a question mark. So I basically still need to get 3 dresses. And when your wedding is 3 weeks away, if you've ever labeled yourself as indecisive, you will be the most decisive fucking bitch on the planet. You will get shit done. And I actually picked a dress like right away. It's so stunning. It's like so killer, so gorgeous. Not tailored, but that's one dress down. And I guess if we're going to count the ceremony, I mean, there's multiple dresses, right, that still need to be figured out. I don't have a veil. I don't have really anything. Like, I really don't. So I guess you could call me a type B bride, which is something Soph just told me about that people are calling themselves online, because I know there's like this Reddit thread called Big Budget Brides. And I don't know if it was something about me saying I'm getting married in Italy that just like automatically puts you in the Big Budget Bride Reddit thread, but these girls on there have all literally been like, I tried highlights, I tried lymphatic drainage, I did like the trial Botox, I got the dress, I did a trial makeup round, a trial hair round, 6 months minimum before my wedding date. I don't have all of those things on lockdown. However, I'm leaving for the airport. I'm doing like the quickest trip ever. I'm going to Milan for 2 days to do a tasting and check in on the whole wedding cake of it all, which was like kind of one of the more important things to me, because I've always thought that wedding cakes are A, really cute, B, have fondant, which I'm obsessed with. And because I'm going to be in Milan, I was like, obviously, how am I not going to use that opportunity to go get every single shoe that I need for this wedding weekend? So I think I'll feel a little bit better after that. Why I didn't work with a bridal stylist, I don't know. Like, I don't have an answer for you. I thought about it a few times for sure. I remember talking with this girl when I was like trying wedding dresses on, and I remember asking her, like, I'm so overwhelmed. Would it be worth it to get a bridal stylist? And I do remember her saying, bridal stylists are like for people who just straight up don't know their body type, don't know what looks good on them, have no idea how to dress. I don't know if I should have just trusted that one girl at the one place and her opinion on it, because I think it could have been really helpful. I mean, I guess it's never too late, you know? By the time this episode comes out, we still got like 2 weeks and something to hire a bridal stylist and have them source a bunch of shit. But I am a type B bride, and I've let go of a lot of like the panic and anxiety, and have just told myself, the difference between you wearing the exact dress that you were picturing in your brain for one of the events versus wearing a stunningly beautiful, completely different dress for one of your events, you're going to be okay. I'm not going to look back and be like, wow, I fucked it up. I should have found, at least I don't think so. So I let go of a bunch of shit. I don't have hair booked. However, you know what I do have booked is I got a keratin treatment, which I've never done ever in my life, but this hair colorist, who might be like the best colorist in the entire world, put some highlights in my hair, told me to go get keratin, and then told me to go back to her to like re-put color in my hair and to do a gloss, which I have that scheduled. And what the other thing I've scheduled is that after that, I'm going to try out a bunch of different potential wedding hair looks with the hair colorist, but more so this other hair girl. She like doesn't do color, but she does blowouts and like hair styling. And I'm going to do a bunch of trials with them. And so then at least I have a picture to show whoever I decide to hire to literally get on a flight and meet me in Italy. There's like, I obviously, there's like a part of me that I feel bad. Like I pictured me in my bridal era being much more organized and much more like, but that's never been me. So I don't know why that was all of a sudden going to apply to my wedding. And if there's one thing I'm good at doing is like getting a whole bunch of shit together and like executed flawlessly in the least amount of time, which, by the way, my editor made that very clear to me. My editor straight up was like, you, it is good for you to have like an impending deadline, like not a deadline far off in the future, but one that is like you are right up against it. And he was so right. Like that is literally what it took to get the book done. And that is what it's going to take to do my wedding. Makeup, I have on lock. We won't be able to do a trial, but she did my makeup for this press thing that I did. And I loved, loved, loved my makeup for it. Soph just reminded me, I also don't know where, if, where, when I'm going to do a honeymoon. What else do I not have? So you, I have thought about the honeymoon and I have heard that brides will say that they like wish so badly that they would have planned to go on the honeymoon like a week after the wedding, because all you want to do is just fucking sleep and chill and eat and not do anything, which I totally get. However, I want to eat, sleep, chill, and not do anything on the beach or on the Mediterranean or on some kind of water. So we will get that planned right after I decide what we're serving at the wedding. We have the DJ on lock for the wedding after party, and he may or may not single-handedly make it a weekend that people go home and are like, I will have that memory for, that was the best weekend one of my entire life. And I feel confident in saying that. I did like an hour and a half Zoom call with him. And it was like, it was literally almost like the Simon and Schuster room. Like just the creative, like the, we just got each other. We were understanding each other. He gives a fuck. He was so detailed about how he wants to do it. And we secured, there are things though about getting married in another country when you are already a busy girl putting out a book that you do have to just miss out on. For example, we had solidified a venue for the welcome dinner, and then it turned out that we actually couldn't do it there. It wasn't a venue. And this wasn't even like offered, but I was like, it has always been a dream of mine to throw a dinner in a piazza, like just long tables in a little tiny alley with like little restaurants and shops surrounding you on the cobblestone in Europe. And that is exactly what I'm getting. And I'm super, super excited for that. But that was kind of, we had to like find that piazza last minute. And so my fiance had to go look at it and do the tasting. I think it was last Friday without me, and just tell me about it and like send me a picture video. So there's certain things that like I wasn't able to be there for, but I don't know. I have a really good feeling that everything is going to pan out. And for somehow, some way, you guys, I just went from like a little congestion and thinking I had allergies to like full blown sickly, which I've heard getting on a 8-hour flight overnight red eye is exactly what the doctor ordered for when you're feeling sick. So I'm gonna go do that. And I love you guys so much. Please bear with me during this time. I cannot wait for you guys to read this, because it is not just like, okay, Sophia did her best. This is like, this is high level memoir writing shit. And if I didn't make sure of it, the other fucking people in the room I was in are making sure of it. And you can pre-order Daddy Issues now. And I'll talk to you sleuths next week. I love you so much.